191. We're going to start off with hymn number 191, Jesus Loves Me.
That one is not, it's not, it's on.
Verse 3.
Yes, it's on.
Jesus loves me still today, walking with me on my way, wanting as a friend to give light and love to all who live.
Yes,
Jesus loves me. Yes. Yes, Jesus loves me,
the
Bible tells me so.
God must love you.
And do we have another one out there? Yes. 308. And 308. Thine be the glory. Verse 1 and 3?
Yes.
Perfect. Yes. 393. Spirit of the Living God, and let's sing that through twice.
Spirit of the Living God,
fall afresh on me.
Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me.
Thank you, and that's going to take us right into our service. I hear the bell. Beautiful prelude. Diane, thank you very much. And we're pleased to have Diane with us this morning. Wonderful music, and thank you for all the music you were playing in advance. Thank you so, so much. I love music. It just fills my heart. I was having a conversation with Pat earlier about I was all in favor of us having a two-hour service every Sunday morning that was just music, but I sort of got overruled. They thought we should have a sermon in there somewhere.
I can preach 1 minute. Yeah. The rest would be music.
Yes. Welcome to the United Methodist Church of Yucaipa, the House of Faith. It's wonderful to see you all here. Please remember to sign those pew pads so that we will know that you are here. They're the red little pew pads. Sign those and pass them along so you can see who's sitting in your pew with you. So I know that we have a guest with us today, and Edna has her daughter with us, so that's exciting to see you here, and welcome very much. I'm sorry, I didn't get your name when I was out there. Amy. Very good. Thank you, Amy, for coming and sharing your time with us this morning. That's wonderful. And I don't think I saw any other faces that were new to me. And I know that on Zoom that was exciting, that I saw both the Kleins, and I saw that Lois is watching us, tuning in, and maybe I saw June, so that was great as well. So let me go through a few of our announcements, because we do have some announcements. As you see, it's the last day of April. Who would have thought we'd finally be here? We are. And so therefore, there's still birthdays that we're celebrating. And both some people who are here whose birthdays are being celebrated is Edna's birthdays this month, Deb's is, Charles is, Lois, who is tuning in to us, is. So happy birthday to you, all of you April 30th birthdays. Next we have the Chosen is going to be a number three, at 11 a.m. today, so please come across the breezeway and enjoy that at 11 after you've had an opportunity to have coffee and maybe do a little socializing at that time. So the Chosen. And next, the May newsletter is out there in the Narthex, and you may have, if you receive yours via email, you may have received yours via email already, but please make sure that you enjoy that issue. A pastor made the comment to one of our congregants that young man that's in there is his son. So Johnny is his son. So make note of that. And then, of course, coming May 6th at 11 a.m. is the 80 for Brady. A fun movie. I've actually seen it, and it is great. If you like any of those co-stars that are in there, they're all just a great deal of laughter. Lastly, I want to make a plea as well for Cereal Sunday. As we announced last Sunday, cereal cannot only be brought on a Tuesday. It can be brought any on a Tuesday, on a Sunday, the second Sunday. It can be brought on any day of the week that the church office is open, so that would be Monday through Thursday. And if you didn't make note in your bulletin, our church office hours have changed, so please make note of that. So anytime between 8 and noon, Monday through Thursday, if you have cereal, you can drop it off. And Deb has been gracious enough to volunteer that she will take it over there when we get it, because there are a lot of persons in our community who are suffering from lack of foodstuffs. So our cereal, I know I start my day off with a bowl of Cheerios, and that makes a difference for me. So I would hope that it would make a difference in the lives of others to have cereal. So that is all of the notes, announcements that I have for us today. So with that, I would like to bring us into our worship with our call to worship. If you would please stand as you're able and join me in the call to worship. We, the believers, call upon you, O Heavenly Father.
We, the believers, call upon you, O merciful Savior.
We, the believers, call upon you, O ever-present Counselor.
Come and manifest your presence among us, and be glorified at our worship.
And now if you'll join me in singing To God Be the Glory, number 98 in your hymnal.
To God be the glory.
To God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life on atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Great things he has taught us, great things he has done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But pure, wrong, and higher, and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done.
And now, passing of the peace, before you seat yourselves, turn around and say hello to people. More coming in. Kathy's in the belfry. We'll say hey to Kathy in the belfry. The Kleins, as I said, are here. That's wonderful to see you both. June is there. David is here. The Weekses are in. Wonderful.
And Bill and April.
Mm-hmm. Bill and April.
And Joyce with June as well.
Oh, Joyce. I always forget Joyce.
Yep. And
Lois, you're looking good.
I think we have George. I don't know.
Yeah, George. Or
I don't know. George has joined us in Hawaii, but George has joined us, and also
David has come in.
Helen has come
on
phone line. So
hi, Helen. Yeah, we'll always. And so joys and concerns. Deb has the mic. Raise your hand if you have a joy or concern and share it with us. And if you're on Zoom, be sure to be waving your hand so we'll catch your attention as well.
Welcome back, you two.
Alita has a joy or a concern.
Anybody?
Is this on?
Yes.
My friend Margaret is going to come and visit me. She's from Missouri. She'll be here for 2 weeks, so I'm hoping that she'll be able to come and we don't have anything planned. I don't think so. I've tried not to do that. So hopefully she'll be here next Sunday.
Good. Morning, Marlene.
Hello, thank you. My sister, Judith Thompson, has been looking for a job for some time and struggling. She has a phone interview with the county, a county caseworker to try and assist her and help finding a job. So please give your prayers for my sister, Judith Thompson.
I didn't see anybody on Zoom, but if you do, raise your hand now and we'll come to you via Zoom. I don't see a hand, but it's wonderful that you're all Zooming in with us and we give our prayers and thoughts to all.
I spoke to Jen, Lorena's sister, yesterday, and she indicated that Lorena may be coming home today.
Oh, wow.
So that's wonderful news. And I mean, she has made quite a progress. She used to be in a lot of pain. Just even watching her was unbearable. But she doesn't have that much pain. You know, that's a wonderful thing. And then they are talking about sending her home. So that's great.
Healing will begin at home, definitely. And so now, would you join me in the unison prayer? Dear Lord Jesus, forces of darkness loom over the world, and we unwittingly allow troubles to blind the sight of your presence. During this perilous time, we hold on to your promise to be with us until the end. When we are hard-pressed on every side, your love breaks the gloom and shines through. Sustain us with your faithfulness, and bless our lives with the joy of resurrection. In the name of risen Christ, amen.
Let us continue our prayers in silence. Lord Jesus Christ, you have made yourself available to those who reach out unto you. And through your resurrection, you have manifested yourself over and over that you are our living God. But we humbly acknowledge, O Lord, that when we through this life journey, we often face moment of discouragement, moment of hopelessness, moment of pain and suffering. And sometimes, O Lord, we do not seem to find any hope, just walking through a dark tunnel. And whenever we feel down, O Lord, we hold on to you. We hold on to your promise that you will be with us until the very end. And we know that you are there with us. You are watching over our life. And you faithfully provide our need. And the reason that we do not see you, O Lord, is because our eyes are blinded by all the troubles we face. So we ask you to bless us through your Holy Spirit and open our eyes that we may see you, that we may see you work on our behalf, that we may see you going before us. We thank you for this time of worship when we can focus on your presence, when we can get away from all the troubles out there in the world,
that we may submerge ourselves into your grace, that we may receive peace and comfort, the assurance of your presence, that we may restore the joy of living once more. We need you, O Lord, every moment of our life. In pain and in joy, we need you. So we come, O Lord, with open hearts, and we invite you and your Holy Spirit to come in and fill our hearts and fill our lives, that we may experience your powerful presence once more, that we may receive this assurance of your presence, the everlasting presence in our life. So we thank you, Lord, for this reminder of you in our life. And knowing that you have the full control over our life and over all the affairs of this journey, we yield to you, O Lord. We submit all our cares into your hand and pray that you continue to use us and fulfill your will in our lives, in this church, in this community, in this nation and the world today. So now we join our hearts and prayers together, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's story is Maybe God is Like That Too, written by Jennifer Grant, illustrated by Benjamin Shipper. I live in the city, where the sidewalks and subway cars and buildings and buses are packed with people, but I've never seen God before. Grandma, does God live in the city? I ask one morning at breakfast. Yes, God is here, she says. You just need to know where to look. Whenever you see love, joy, and peace, God is there, she says, stirring her tea. Wherever there's patience, kindness, and goodness, God is there too. When you see faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, that's God's Spirit at work. On the way to school, I'm on the lookout. I see a bus full of tourists and count 10 bright yellow taxis. I spy a man sweeping a stoop. And Grandma and I laugh when we see a tiny dog wearing a fluffy purple sweater. At school, Grandma hands me my lunch and hugs me close before she says goodbye. That's what love looks like to me. Maybe God is like that too. On the swings, I pump so hard I see over the wall into the alley. My friends shout, higher, higher, as my feet fly way up into the sky. That's what joy looks like to me. Maybe God is like that too. Outside, car horns blast and sirens scream, but my classroom is quiet and calm. That's what peace looks like to me. Maybe God is like that too. I try to tie my shoes, but the laces tangle around my fingers. My teacher sits down beside me and shows me how to tie them. That's what patience looks like to me. Maybe God is like that too. On the way home, I see a doorman wearing a red cape and a hat with a shiny brim. He's holding the door for a man using a wheelchair. The man moves very slowly, and the doorman chats with him and smiles. That's what kindness looks like to me. Maybe God is like that too. While I'm setting the table for dinner, there's a knock at the door. It's our neighbor from downstairs bringing us a loaf of bread. It's golden brown and warm and wrapped in a thin white towel. That's what goodness looks like to me. Maybe God is like that too. After dinner, I work on my homework while Grandma stands at the kitchen sink washing dishes and humming to herself, just like she does every single night. That's what faithfulness looks like to me. Maybe God is like that too. At bedtime, Grandma sits at the edge of my bed, singing me a lullaby and stroking my head. She tucks my blankets up close around me. That's what gentleness looks like to me. Maybe God is like that too. I lie in bed watching the curtains flutter. I want to talk about that dog we saw today and how high I can swing, but Grandma says that once I'm tucked in, I have to stay in bed until morning. I close my eyes and try to fall asleep. That's what self-control looks like to me. Maybe God is like that too. I saw God over and over again today whenever I saw love, joy, and peace, wherever there was patience, kindness, and goodness. When I saw faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, I saw God's Spirit at work. I don't see God the way I see my friends or the streetlights or the river, but I see signs of God's Spirit all around me, right here in the city. I know what God is like. Maybe I can be like that too. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23. Amen.
And now, if you will join me in singing, I Need Thee Every Hour. I just love it, Pastor, when your prayer prepares us for the song that we're going to sing. Thank you for that. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 8. We should put on the light. The resurrection of Jesus. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to the hands of sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
You know, Jesus said, where there are two or three gathered together, he will be among us. And we have more than three here. So, presence of Christ is here with us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And I greet you all, each and every one of you, and pray that we will receive God's visit through his Holy Spirit this morning, that he'll come and speak to you, speak to your heart, speak to your mind, touch your heart, and fill you with the joy of living. And I just noticed that Austin has come to join us all the way from Missouri as well. So welcome. And I greet you all those of you who have come to join us via Zoom. What I'm about to share may not be a joke, but a true story. And some of you may have heard of it before. Adolf Hitler was very much disturbed when a psychic let it be known that she could predict the exact day of his death. Since the predictions were always based on astrology, and since Hitler himself was a believer in the stars, he sent for the woman. After much divination, the woman finally said that the omens indicated no specific date for the passing of the Nazi leader, other than that it would definitely take place on a Jewish holiday. "Which holiday?" Hitler demanded. "I cannot be sure," said the astrologist. "You've got to be sure," Hitler ordered, going up into one of his extreme shrieks. "I demand that you be sure." "What difference does it make?" shrugged the woman. "Any day on which you will die will be a Jewish holiday." Do you know today is the day of celebration for Jews? You know that? It is not their religious or civic holiday. Can you guess the kind of celebration they have today? What day is it today? April 30th, right? It is the anniversary of Hitler committing suicide in 1945. So it is the celebration for the Jewish people. A concept of the predetermined day of passing is found in the Bible. For example, King Belshazzar of Babylon threw a royal banquet and invited his dignitaries. He brought in goblets of precious metals that his father Nebuchadnezzar plundered from the temple in Jerusalem and drank wine with them. Suddenly, the fingers of a human hand appeared and wrote on the plaster of the wall. The king watched the hand as it wrote, "Mene, mene, tegel, parsin." His face turned pale and he was so frightened, he did not know what the writing meant, nor did his wise men. So Daniel was brought before the king to interpret the writing. Daniel said that "mene" meant "God has numbered the days of your reign and brought it to an end." That very night,
Belshazzar, king of Babylon, was slain. In the book of Job, 14:5, Job said, "A person's days are determined. You have decreased the number of his month and have set limits he cannot exceed." In Psalm 39, David said, "Show me, Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is." The sovereign God has full control over the life of individuals and nations. He runs everything on his watch and sets up durations and days. Certain durations show God's unique characteristics, his perfection, his principle of the Sabbath, and his ways of operations. God created the universe in 7 days and made the entire year run on 7 day cycle, which is the Sabbath cycle. God runs the whole universe on God's Sabbath cycle. Jeremiah prophesied that Babylonian exiles would last 70 years. And the history proves that upon the completion of 70 years of the exile exactly, Cyrus, the king of Persia, allowed the exile to return to Israel. Now, 3 days has a special meaning related to God's watch on Jesus' life. Let us look at what it means. We are very familiar with the story of Jonah. God told him to go to Nineveh and preach the message of repentance to the heathens in old Babylon. He did not like that idea and went on board a ship to go to Tarshish. The ship soon faced a violent storm. The sailors wanted to find out who caused that calamity. When they cast lots, it fell on Jonah. They threw Jonah overboard. A giant fish swallowed him and vomited him onto dry land after 3 days. Some may regard the story as a fairy tale, but Jesus acknowledged Jonah and his story. There are many stories of modern-day Jonah who was swallowed by whale and survived. One of the more reliable stories was reported by Newsweek in June 22. A 56-year-old commercial lobster diver, Michael Packard, was swallowed by a humpback whale and was inside his mouth for about a minute until it spit him out. Even though Packard was not inside the whale for as long as 3 days, he almost died and was given a second chance to live like Jonah. Hosea chapter 6 is a prophecy of the resurrection of the Messiah in 3 days. "Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wound. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will restore us, that we may live in his presence." Jesus held the same position of the biblical prophecy on his resurrection. In Luke 24, Jesus appeared to his disciples after Easter and opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day." The Apostle Paul agreed with Jesus as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is the chapter of resurrection. In it, the Apostle Paul logically proved the resurrection of the Lord. And in verse 4 of that same chapter, Paul said, "Jesus was raised on the third day according to the scriptures." Both Jesus and Paul agreed that the resurrection on the third day was prophesied in the Old Testament, and it did happen on the third day, according to the scriptures. Throughout the gospel, whenever Jesus spoke of his death, he mentioned his resurrection in 3 days. Let me give you some more examples of it. Firstly, Jesus said this in Matthew 12. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly. Isn't that interesting? This is a King James version. In King James version, that big giant fish was whale. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Jesus compared himself to the temple and said this while in Jerusalem temple. John 2, Jesus said, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." People responded, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it in 3 days?" But the temple he had spoken of was his body. Building a new temple in 3 days meant the resurrection on the third day. Jesus said this in Luke 9. "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." And Jesus said this of his death and resurrection, and most of the time he mentioned those two big events at the same time. And you can find these references of Jesus' word more than 20 times in the Gospels. According to the prophecy, he was born in the Roman period and was crucified. According to the scripture, he rose from the dead on the third day. So this 3 day means, okay, every part of Jesus' life was run on God's watch very accurately. God runs the whole universe on his watch, and God shows the very fact through the life of Jesus. Now, look at the movement of the devout women from the day of Passover and see the kind of watch they followed. Jesus was crucified on the day of Passover and fulfilled the prophecy of the Messiah to become the sacrificial Lamb of God. Jesus died at the ninth hour, which is about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Joseph Arimathea went to Pilate and asked permission to bury Jesus' body. After the burial, it was evening, and that's when the Sabbath began. After spending the whole day around the Calvary, the women had to return home as the Sabbath began in the evening. And of course, the following day was Sabbath, and they had to stay home all day and had to wait until the dawn of the first day of the week when they were allowed to go outside freely and was able to go to tomb. The women's movement was bound by the watch of their religion. Jewish tradition says that when a person dies, his soul stays within his body for 3 days and then departs. Did the watch of their religion correspond to God's watch? It did not. What did they expect on Easter morning? Their watch said that Jesus' spirit left, and the only thing left was his body to corrupt. So they went to the tomb to embalm the corpse, to grieve, and nothing else. Even after they heard Jesus' word on his resurrection over and over. Like I said, there were more than 20 times Jesus mentioned of his crucifixion and the resurrection on the third day. Everything in the universe, including our life, runs on God's watch. But we are like the women, not watchful of God's watch. A common sight in America's southwest desert is the century plant. I don't know whether you have seen it. I haven't seen it yet. It is unique. The century plant thrives in rocky, mountainous desert sites. It has dramatic, splayed leaves that grow up to a foot wide. The plant can reach 12 feet in diameter. But what makes the century plant unusual, as its name suggests, is its long production cycle. For 20 or 30 years, not a literal 100 years, the 6 foot tall plant stands the same height and puts out no flowers. Then one year, without warning, a new bird sprouts. The bird, which resembled a tree trunk size asparagus spear, shoots into the sky at a fantastic rate of 7 inches per day and reaches an eventual height of 20 to 40 feet. Then it crowns itself with several clumps of yellowish blossoms that last up to 3 weeks. The blossoming cycle of the century plant runs on God's watch of nature. I mean, they would look at the plant and it stays the same length for all this time, for 20 or 30 years, and all of a sudden it blossoms. Because it runs on God's watch of nature. How about our life? God's watch runs our life as well. The problem is, we look at our human watch and act accordingly. Our watch may say it is dark and hope is lost, but on God's watch, Christ lives and hope is alive. The women of faith were sorrowful from the day of crucifixion through the evening of the preparation day and Sabbath until Easter morning. If they trusted in the word of Jesus on his resurrection, they could have entered into Sabbath rest instead. The time of frustration on our watch is the time to rest on God's watch. As the women hurry to the tomb early in the morning, we often try things in a hurry and ended up not accomplishing much. Why? Because we follow our watch. God's timing is always perfect, for he knows what is best. So what time is it now? It's God's time. And you can ask yourself every time, wherever you are in your life, you know, even in darkness, what time is it? It's God's time. May we operate on God's watch. Rest and wait upon him. Amen.
The time is now for the receiving of our tithes and offerings. And if you haven't had an opportunity to place your offering in the narthex, you may do that at the end of our service.
Thank you.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures ye below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power of lives. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Lord Jesus Christ, we give you praise and thanksgiving and acknowledge that you are the source of all the blessings that we have received. So thank you, Lord, for making our life so beautiful and so abundant. We give you this thanksgiving unto you, O Lord, as we recognize who you are. You are our Savior, you are our Sustainer, and you are our Redeemer. So receive this offering, and may it be used to do the ministry of this congregation, and that your name may continually be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.
And now if you'll join in our final hymn, we'll understand it better by and by, number 525.
We are tossed and driven on the restless sea of time. Somber skies and howling tempests halt to see the bright sunshine. In that land of perfect day, while the mists have rolled away, we will understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home, we'll tell the story how we've overcome, for we'll understand it better by and by. We are often destitute of the things that life demands, want of food and want of shelter, thirsty hills and barren lands. We are trusting in the Lord, and according to God's word, we will understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home, we'll tell the story how we've overcome, for we'll understand it better by and by. Trial knock on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God would lead us to that blessed promised land. But he guides us with his eye, and we'll follow till we die, for we'll understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home, we'll tell the story how we've overcome, for we'll understand it better by and by. Let us pray. Lord, we acknowledge that there are times of confusion, times that we have a lot of doubt, times that we do not simply understand your will, your guidance, and your presence. But, Lord, may we be assured that you run our life. You have everything under your control, so that no matter what, O Lord, we can trust in your loving care, we can trust in your guidance, we can trust in your presence. So help us see how you work in our life, that we may trust in you, in your power, all the more. Thank you, Lord, for being our living God, for being our eternal companion with your living presence. Therefore, send us forth in your peace. In Jesus' name, amen. be afraid. God will go with you each hour, every day. Oh, now in faith, steadfast, strong, and true. Oh, he will be in all you do. Oh, and show you. World can't see.